With me in the studio is Amy London and Steve Schmidt, who are going to talk about a new jazz CD that's coming out that's really exciting. It's called The Royal Bobsters. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lee.
Tell us about this CD. Where do you even start? It's amazing.
Well, I'm going to start with the story, and I'm going to try and keep it as brief as I can. And Steve Schmidt, my good friend and favorite pianist, is very much involved in the story. It could have been him. It could have been Sarah Young, my girlfriend here in Cincinnati, my dear friend from high school, who called me one day when I was about 19. I was home from college, and she or he or somebody said to me on the phone, Amy, you have to get over to the Blue Wisp and hear the singer Mark Murphy. He's amazing. So I went over to O'Brienville, to the Wisp, where it used to be, walked in the door, handed Susie Collins $3, and Mark Murphy was in the middle of some big fat note, and it just threw me against the wall. I was like transfixed, and that was the first time I heard Mark Murphy, and Steve was playing with him. And I became a huge Mark Murphy fan at that point. I was in college. I was studying opera, but I wanted to sing jazz. I had started listening to Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald. That's as far as I had gotten as a 19-year-old. And suddenly, there was Mark Murphy. I was with my best friend, Susie Goldberg, in Washington, D.C., and he was playing at One Step Down, and I went there to hear him, and he played there, and Shirley Horn was in the audience, and I went up and said hi to both of them at the end of the gig. He loved Shirley. Mark loved Shirley. And then, of course, I moved to New York in the early 80s, and Mark played New York all the time. So wherever Mark was, I went to see him. I saw Mark perform live more than anybody. So years went by. I did lots of gigs. I got married. I had kids. Fast forward to about 2009 or 2010. I got a phone call from my good friend, Holly Ross, one of my best friends in New York, who's a wonderful alto singer. She said, Aim, Mark has moved to the Actors Fund home in Englewood, a home for retired actors and jazz musicians. It's a 5-minute drive from my house. And I said, okay, let's go visit Mark. By this time, I knew Mark. He had moved to New York, and we'd gotten to know each other. So we went over to the Actors Fund home, and Mark was sitting on this little couch looking very dejected, and he said, nobody wants me. And I'm like, come on, man, you're Mark Murphy. Everybody wants you. And we started to just hang out together. I live in Teaneck. He lives in Englewood. And so if you're traveling east, you go Teaneck, Englewood, George Washington Bridge, Manhattan. So anytime I went out to a gig, I'd call Mark. I'd say, come on, man, I'm going out. You want to go? Yeah, he always said yes. And he would get really dressed up with the rings and the whole deal. You know, he'd be waiting for me at the door. And we went hanging out in New York a lot to hear music, to hang out together, to go to movies, go out to dinner, bop around the village. He loved Greenwich Village. He really loved Greenwich Village. So we would hang out in the village. And we got to be really, really good friends. And at a certain point, I invited him up to my jazz camp. I run a jazz camp every summer for vocalists. My husband, Ronnie Ben-Hur, does the instrumental wing of the camp. So Mark came up to my jazz camp in the Adirondacks and taught with me, and we performed together. We had a great time. We drove up together. So one of the other things that I would do with Mark, because he just wanted to get out of the home as much as possible and get into the city, is I started bringing him to the New School, where I have been on the jazz faculty for many years. And I brought him into my classroom, and he loved meeting the young singers, and they loved meeting him. And he would just teach them and coach them a little bit. And I have a student, he was a student of mine, Dylan Pramick, a young, very low bass, who's a great scat singer and a very good choral jazz arranger. And at the same time, Dylan was bringing in arrangements to my jazz choir, my vocal jazz ensemble at the New School. And he brought in a chart on red clay. And I said to Mark, hey, Mark, you want to sing this with us? He's like, sure. And I was like, well, do you want to do a concert at the New School? He's like, sure. So December 2011, we did a concert at the New School with my 10-voice vocal jazz choir. And the music was so much fun, I decided I didn't want to just teach it. I wanted to sing it, too. So I jumped up on stage with them. I sang soprano. My good friend Holly sang alto. And Dylan, who was writing all these arrangements, by now had graduated. So he was my bass ringer. The concert went very well. Mark was great. Everybody loved him. It was sold out, standing room only. And after it was over, we all looked at each other and said, do you want to go in the studio? And Mark was like, sure. So I called up a very good friend of mine who had actually, I had invited on the concert, but he was too busy and he couldn't make it. And he kept emailing me during the course of leading up to the concert, asking me how it was going. And I would email him back, it's great. So I emailed him and invited him on the project. And it was Darman Meter, the leader of the wonderful New York Voices, who've enjoyed a 25-year fantastic career, many records and lots of gigs around the world. So Darman as tenor, Mia as soprano, Holly as alto, and Dylan as bass created this brand new vocal group. And we went in the studio that summer with Mark Murphy. We recorded four songs with him, and then we have two more in the can that we haven't touched yet. And when I was assembling the band to play with Mark, I thought, well, what pianist would I really love to be on this project? And I always think of Steve because he's always been one of my favorite pianists since high school when I first met him and heard him. And I knew that he had worked with Mark extensively, so I invited Steve to come up to New York and record with us, and he did, happily. I invited Sean Smith to be the bass player. Sean Smith is a wonderful, aside from being a wonderful bassist, he's a wonderful composer. And he and Mark have written a lot of material together, and they were at that time working on more material. And then I invited my good friend Steve Williams, who's been my first call drummer since he moved to New York about 12 years ago. Steve Williams played with Shirley Horn for 30 years, and Shirley was Mark's favorite singer. So everything was kind of connected. And so it's Steve, and Sean, and then there's another Steve in there, Stephen Kroon, a Latin percussionist, to add the percussion. And we came out with this great product, and when it was done, we decided to keep moving the project along, and we invited four more of our bop vocalese heroes to join us. So the following year, we recorded with the same band, and we brought in Annie Ross, John Hendricks, Bob Durow, and Sheila Jordan, who each recorded one song with us. And then we did an additional five songs with just the four of us in the band. So the project is 12 songs in all. And it is being released by Motema. I'm very pleased and thrilled to be on the Motema label. I have two other recordings on the label. My husband has been on the label also for years. And Motema is moving up the ranks and is winning awards now as like best record label out there. The president of Motema is Jana Hertzen. She is a brilliant woman with a huge vision and a great love and passion for music and for recording music and documenting it. So the record is coming out. It's called The Royal Bopsters. And we're going to celebrate with five nights at Birdland in New York City, September 15th through 19th. Steve will be with us on the gig. The whole crew from the record, every single person will be there except for Mark, who's a little under the weather. But everybody else will be there, Annie Ross, John Hendricks, Sheila Jordan, and Bob Durow.
So, Steve, tell us some of your memories of Mark Murphy, because he's one of Cincinnati's favorites.
Yes. Well, first of all, I want to thank Amy for inviting me to be on this project. And, yes, it felt really great to see and hear and record with Mark after years of not seeing him. When I first started playing at the Blue Wisp, I think he was probably the first major jazz star that we brought in, you know, name. Yeah, I felt so lucky back then when I was getting my start playing, getting to play with him, and then after that, all these other great people that I got to learn from. But anyway, Mark has always been special to me, and I know he has a long history before I even was playing music around here. And we even talked about that a little bit when I was in New York doing this, and we went out to dinner. And he let me know then that I didn't really know in his history how really important Cincinnati was. He said, I guess when he first started singing, Buffalo, New York, and Cincinnati were his two main places. And he even said, I really learned to be a jazz singer with the DeFelice Trio in Cincinnati. He said, singing with Frank Vincent and Lee Tucker and DeFelice. And I guess coming here for long stints, I guess that's what it was, and playing with a good trio, he said this is where he learned to be a real jazz singer.
Yeah, I'm in town here for a family wedding, and my cousin Steve Burke reminded me the other night that he saw Mark doing a duo gig with Cal Collins at the Buccaneer in Roselawn years ago.
That must have been something.
I know.
Let's go back to the gig you've got coming up at Birdland, September 15th to the 19th. Steve, you're going up.
Yes, I am.
Are you going up early for rehearsals? Are you guys going to, because it, different nights, different performers will
be
on stage?
Steve is also coming to my jazz camp in late August, and the quartet's coming up to the jazz camp, so we're going to have a little dress rehearsal performance of the stuff that's without our guest stars, and then he's going to come up a couple days early, and we have a couple days of rehearsal booked to rehearse with everybody.
And there's only one night when all four of the vocalists will be on stage?
Right. We have on Tuesday and Wednesday, we have John Hendricks and Sheila Jordan performing with us. And I believe, if I'm not wrong, Wednesday, September 16th, is John Hendricks' 94th birthday. And then on Thursday, September 17th, we will have all four of them performing with us. And then on the 18th and 19th, it'll be Annie Ross and Bob Dureau.
94th birthday.
94th birthday.
And still in voice.
Mm-hmm. And Bob is going to be, I think he's turned 91 or he's about to be 91 or is already 91. And he's 91 going on like 19, really.
Right.
He's got more energy than I do.
See, that's another one that I feel grateful about being on this project. Because when I first started playing at the Blue Wisp, you know, I started there in 1979, really. In fact, I found a tape of Mark Murphy, Cal Collins, a cassette tape that I recorded. I'll have to dig it out.
Oh, you have to dig it out and bring it up.
Anyway, but Bob Dureau was a person that we brought in there, Bob and Bill Takis, his bass player.
Oh, that was his bass player for years.
So they came in frequently. I got to meet Bob back then. I hadn't seen him for years. And then when he walked into Amy's living room for this rehearsal a couple of years ago, I swear he looked not a day older than when I saw him.
He's amazing.
And he acted.
He's the vitamin man.
I told him how good he looked, and he said, "Well, you look even better." Like, I said, you know.
He's so cute.
Like, you didn't look so good back then, but now you look great. Like, he was giving me this backhanded compliment.
Oh,
he's very
so
funny.
Cute.
And so, yeah, he's still got it.
90, 91 years old. These are the people. This is what I want to be when I grow up.
That's what I felt after leaving there and being with all these great older yet still.
It's so inspiring.
It's like, if that's not an example of music keeping you young, I don't know what is.
Right. You know? Scene. Absolutely.
Sounds like it's going to be a wonderful week of music then at Berland.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Lee.
Thanks,
telling
Lee.
Telling us all about it. And congratulations on the new album called The Royal Bobsters that comes out on September 4th.
Thank you very
thanks
much.
Thanks for having us.
I've been in conversation with Steve Schmidt and Amy London about their new CD called The Royal Bobsters. You'll find a link to Berland, where they'll be performing, as well as to their new CD at WVXU.org. I'm Lee Hay for Around Cincinnati.
Then when there was a cat who then started to scat, it made impressions that establishing a school became a popular pastime. So Bob, when his prime would differentiate the hot from the cool. Second, third generation still blow all the flat FS that we certainly know, like Coco number get four, and then there's that in Tunisia. So we know that bebop
lives. God damn it lives, yeah. You can't kill it. No. It
we know the
it lives. It lives. It lives the bebop.